to the near post. Messi to the net. Romel Kyoto now. Here's a Hunter. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantarita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Thank you to all the fans, everyone, everybody, all the Houston family. At the end of the day, we're all family. And for me personally, you guys have treated me like families since the first day I walked through those doors, right up there at the Heineken Star Bar. And seriously, it's been an honor to represent your club. You know, we're always the players, and we're passengers. We come, we go, we come, we go. But the fans, you guys always stay. You guys always stay. And I really, really appreciate it. Just want to say thank you once again for showing me support throughout my 5.5 years and showing the whole team support. And obviously the next, big thank you. My section over there, I can't see everybody. Wave, that's all my family. I just want to say thank you guys for supporting me throughout the years. Man, I swear, it seems like 20 years, came and went. But it's been a great journey.
Wow, that was some wonderful testimony post-match after the Dynamo beat the LA Galaxy 4-2 in a comeback win. Two goals from Christian Ramirez. But that was DeMarcus Beasley addressing the crowd. It was heartfelt. It was emotional. It was wonderful. It was 5.5 years in a Dynamo uniform. So he played for the Houston Dynamo throughout his career, more than any other team. Puebla in Liga MX would be second, but he will be known for that 2002 World Cup, four World Cups for the United States, and all the European paths that he trailblazed. So DeMarcus Beasley, a big up to you. This show's dedicated to him tonight. It's also dedicated to a man named Promise Isaac, who has represented the Nigerian Super Eagles, played for Austin Bold FC, passed away, young guy, three kids, apparently went to the gym, went back to his room, didn't wake up, and that's just a body blow again. We heard this from Colin Clark, the former Dynamo player, so it's tough. So DeMarcus Beasley, Tim Howard, Nick Raimondo, Bastian Schweinsteiger, and Chad Marshall. We're not going to be able to see them in Major League Soccer anymore. All of those guys retiring. The only one in the playoffs is Nick Raimondo. In the case of Marshall, he just cleaned his locker out in the middle of the season and said, peace out. So I don't know what was behind all that. Manchester City bested at home by Wolves, headlining the show today. Liverpool get a late penalty that some call controversial. I don't. I'll tell you why. They win 2-1 over Leicester on the return of Brendan Rodgers. So Liverpool now an 8-point lead over Manchester City. The top five is Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea. Spurs in turmoil in ninth, and Manchester United is settling into being a mid-table team. There are huge problems there as well. Number one goal scorer in the Premier League, Tammy Abraham of Chelsea, who is a Chelsea youth product. Sergio Aguero tied with 8. Aubameyang with 7, and Timo Pukki of Norwich has 7 as well. So, no Tigres and Santos tickets to give away. Obviously, that game is off. It was off in San Antonio tonight between Tigres and San Luis. A number of things going on here tonight. Tom Fuzzy Martin, since 1986, had been the head coach at James Madison University in Virginia, had well over 350 wins. He passed away, was a wonderful gentleman, a wonderful coach, a wonderful servant to the college game of soccer. MLS playoffs are set. Bobby Boswell is going to come on. We're going to go back and forth on the playoffs. We're going to make some predictions. We're going to talk Dynamo season as well. Phone lines are open, 713-780-3776. Barcelona assistant coach under Frank Rijkaard was Albert Roca. He has also been the head coach of El Salvador. He was with Frank Rijkaard at Barcelona when they won the 2006 Champions League. Members of that squad, Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto'o, a young Lionel Messi. Then he went with Rijkaard after that. And by the way, that team set the stage for Pep coming in. Obviously, there was the whole Johan Cruyff influence. But that squad under Rijkaard set things up for Pep Guardiola to come in and then take it even to another level. But Rijkaard would then go on to coach in the Turkish league Turkish Superliga with Galatasaray, and then Saudi Arabia. Albert Rokal went with him to all these destinations. We're going to talk to him about that tonight. So a very special guest, and it's special that he was an assistant for Barcelona. He played at Zaragoza in Spain. Chris Pills from the Austin Statesman. We're going to talk a little bit about Austin media and what's going on up there and where it can go in the future with the Austin Statesman newspaper. And then, of course, I mentioned Bobby Boswell bouncing around. Me and him are going to go back and forth, a fun segment where we talk about playoffs and everything. But good things are going on. Be happy. We just got to get an Astros win here coming up as well. All right, so let's get to the reality. And I want to get your thoughts tonight. And it's very important you contribute to the show. 713-780-3776. Look, this was a wonderful win. There was a great atmosphere. It was fun to call the final game on the Cube. The Dynamo come back. It's a game of six goals, which also makes it very fun because, you know, goals, hit posts, makes it fun. Not the best defending. I think if you're either manager of either team, you're probably going, well, we didn't do very well in that department. But those things lead to interesting games, and they lead to what is called five-star entertainment. You got that from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He should have had four. He scored in the ninth minute, and then the Dynamo would storm back. Christian Ramirez would get a pair as well. But LA goes on to the playoffs, and the Dynamo don't. So, what was this season? So, let's talk about 2019. The Dynamo 12-18-4. 49 goals for, 59 goals against. They end up 10th out of 12th in the West, and they're 18 out of 24 in the league at the end of the day. You don't make the playoffs in Major League Soccer. It's tough. It's difficult. The Dynamo have tremendous work to do to turn this around. Last year, 10-16-8, 2-10-5 on the road. Now, remember, the Dynamo were 2-15 on the road this year. If the Dynamo, and again, this is a little dangerous territory to get in when you do the what, woulda, coulda, shoulda, what if kind of stuff. But if the Dynamo had won three more games, they would have been in the playoffs on the road. Let's just say that. We can say that. They could have been three more games at home, but you would have had to win on the road anyway. They have a horrible road record, and it has happened over and over and over and over again, and it has not been corrected. So they had the great start to the season, you know, and of course, we're all saying, you know, greatest start ever in Dynamo history. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, okay, but I want to see what's going to happen when the call-ups begin. I want to see what happens when the Gold Cup comes around. Will this depth prove out? And in the end, it didn't. I think we have to be pretty clear on that. It didn't. If you look at the numbers, we gave up more goals than we did the year before. And the Dynamo had huge defensive problems in 2018. It all looked good in the beginning. It all looked better. Because there was a good team shape. There was very big influences from Kiki Struna and Matias Vera. Matias Vera, by the way, for me, is the MVP of the team this year, based on one thing, consistency. So, you know, we're all happy about the great start. The Dynamo take care of business. So let's just look at month by month. Dynamo started March 3-0-1. The draw against Real Salt Lake. April, they go 2-1. Then in May, it begins to change. They go 2-2-1. So at the end of May, they have 7 wins, 21 points there, and then 3 draws. So they have 23 points at the end of May. After that, it's a disaster. So if we even include May, where it begins to change, you say the Dynamo played 2 or 3 good months of soccer. Out of 8. So June, it's 0-3-1. July, it's 2-4. August, 0-5-1. September, 2-3. October, 1-0 with the win over the Galaxy. You know, in and out of different systems. Wilmer Cabrera fired. It's really hard to put a finger on something solely responsible for this. So where we are now is, who's going to be the next coach? When is that going to be chosen? And remember, and I said to be careful about this, this was a very favorable schedule in the beginning of the year to older soccer players. Okay? The Dynamo had a very nice schedule where they had plenty of time to recover, and then it changed. And then you had people going off to national teams, people coming back in different. But that's a part of the game. Everybody had that. So Wilmer Cabrera gets fired. He gets picked up in Montreal. They're in a playoff position when he gets a job. They don't make the playoffs. Dave Yarno has done some good things here now to kind of right the ship as much as he could with a differing system, a 4-4-2 with inverted wingers. But it's 5-6 years out of 6 years, no playoffs. So did the team improve defensively this year? The answer to that is no. I would say with the eye test, yes. Certainly in the first part of the year, but we're not judging it only on the first 2 months of the season. It's where you finish in this league. Did they equal their attacking output this year? No, they did not. They did not. Part of the problem was the absence of Kyoto. For whatever it is, injury, attitude, whatever it is, the foil to Albert Elise around Mauro Minotas was not there. So Minotas' numbers are down as well. 13 goals this year. I predicted before the season that he would have gotten 19 or more. That was a clear prediction I made on this show. That doesn't bear out. I wouldn't have made that prediction if I didn't think Kyoto would have played more and he would have had the two guys out wide around him. The plan was to stabilize his team with Vera and, of course, with Kiki Struna. I think Matias Vera has been excellent. I think in the future the Houston Dynamo are going to have to find a player that has more attacking capability next to him. Maybe it was supposed to be Juan David Cabezas. It became Boniek Garcia. He did everything he could, Oscar Boniek Garcia. But the Dynamo don't have a threat out of midfield, center midfield. It's not there. It allows defenses to basically sit on top of forwards and strikers and kill space without a threat there. And I mean a threat that can run a ball at defenses and maybe beat somebody and pull a center back out and create space for others. I mean somebody who's goal dangerous. Now, actually, Vera and Boniek Garcia had two hits from longer range, which doesn't happen that often this year, in that game against L.A. And that reminds the Los Angeles Galaxy that maybe there's a threat here. But I think that's a big need in the offseason. We'd like to get your opinion on this. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So the outside back position, not enough assists amongst Adam Lundqvist. I think Adam may have had four. I think DeMarcus had one or two. Maybe AJ had one or two. There's not enough from there. There's not enough numbers statistically from central midfield. I think Boniek and Vera only had maybe two or three assists between them. Now, the wonderful ball that was laid on was from Tomas Martinez that put Albert Leeson when he went off the post with the inverted wingers in this midfield. But if you have inverted wingers, you have to have people that can fly forward and deliver tremendous service. And that's got to be a big part of the future. Dave Yarno went 3-5-1. In 9 games. Very tough position to be put into. We've bannered around names here for who should be the next coach. We don't know who that's going to be. College draft has got to be utilized. I think for me, the last player of the Dynamo that really has been effective was all the way back to Dominic Kinnear when he took Jeff Cameron. And Jeff Cameron was not a high draft choice. And we all know what happened with him. He went on to Premier League fame. He's still playing over in England in the championship. Went on to the national team. But you got to pick up something in these college drafts as well. And there was a good thread today that I was tagged in by a number of the Dynamo fans. I think one of the, let me see here. I want to give these guys credit because it was wonderful discussion. It was the kind of thing we want to talk about and have fun with. Oh, I think that's a break. That's Johnny Winter all tore down. It was Blake, it was the new Dynamo, it was Mike. These guys had a really nice thread going here today. It was Edson. I think Jacob was in there, too. They had a great thread going talking about, look, we don't have to go back and look for players. We know off the top of our heads there just hasn't been enough out of the college draft. All right, we're going to take a break. Let's take some phone calls. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on the Dynamo season, what you think happens in the future. There's a lot of unknowns with the coaching position. Mauro Manotas and Albert Elise. This show presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Whatever accident you get in, they will cover you 24/7. Take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Here's Latan now. Be careful. Latan Ibrahimovic is a chip. Spectacular. Are you kidding? The platform, the stage set today, and Ibrahimovic, off a planted foot, will chip this into the far side netting. That was worth the price of admission alone. Here's Elise. He's going to get there off the post. Hit the empty net. Ramirez, yes, he does. It's 1-1. Pavone is bented in. Fantastic finish. Christian Pavone. On loan from Boca Juniors. And there's return on your investment. Struna. Nice ball. Back post. Elise has got a huge look here. Albert Elise. Repentolita. It's 2-2. Elise. Shot. 3-2. It's Ramirez. Polenta looking for a foul. Forget about it. Here's Albert Elise now. Been a good day for him. Elise. Still Elise. Squares it back. It's an empty end. It's goal number 4. Nomo Rodriguez.
Well, Albert Elise was all over the place. The Dynamo, great comeback victory. It was a really fun game to call because there was a nice buzz and atmosphere in there for the LA Galaxy and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And, of course, it was the final game for DeMarcus Beasley. And you could tell it was fun. But the reality is now, what's going to happen in the offseason? Who is going to be the next coach of this team? What type of coach do you think the Dynamo need to bring in? 713-780-3776. Do you believe that Mauro Manotas and Albert Elise are still going to be here? Because if that's in limbo until January in the transfer window, that's tricky. Because how do you begin to plan to build a roster if you don't know these guys are going to be here and you're going to kind of wait it out? Do you think the Dynamo have gotten a commitment from Manotas and Elise to stay and combine with Ramirez and be building blocks? We have not heard anything definitive from the Houston Dynamo along those lines. 713-780-3776. So Mauro Manotas, I already talked about him. Albert Elise, I mean, look, I'm as big a fan as anybody of Albert. But Albert disappeared for whatever the reason, however you want to condition it. Started off the year gangbusters again, disappeared, and then he's back. Now, look, we have to factor a coach in and management of players as well and what was going on at that time. Memo Rodriguez to me, 16 starts this year, 7 goals, 5 assists. For me, Memo is most effective off the bench, and that seems to be his role, and he will benefit in this current system with that. As an inverted winger for me. Tomas Martinez, 5 goals, 3 assists. Now, I think he gets treated in an interesting way because he's got the designated player tag along with Elise and Manotas, and I think a lot of fans think there should be more from Tomas Martinez. He's been positioned by the club as a playmaker, and that's now morphed into something that's more of a hybrid-type playmaker. He had an incredible ball to Albert Elise to put him in. And look, there's no question. Tomas Martinez, a grump in the River Plate system, good on the ball, very good in tight areas. Christian Ramirez. Now, this is a good pickup. And the LAFC probably wishes they had him right now as I bring in Victor Ariza after Diomande going into the has been dropped from the squad due to some substance abuse, much like Brian Fernandez in Portland. So LAFC's probably wishing they still had him.
Yeah, but there was no guarantee that Christian would get the minutes, right? That's another reason why he chose to come to the Houston Dynamo.
Well, is there ever a guarantee?
There isn't.
No, there's no guarantees of anything.
Your aspirations are to make the U.S. national team and get playing time. I mean, that's the gamble you take.
Yeah, and at that time, Diomande was still playing. And he had scored some goals, and he hit a bit of a dry period, wasn't playing as much. So I'm assuming he probably requested it as well. Tommy McNamara, 2 goals, 3 assists, and 33 appearances. Romel Kyoto has been banished to the show Survivor, to the Seychelles Islands, I believe, somewhere, because he's out of sight, out of mind.
He announced his departure the other night, and then I guess took the announcement down. But
yeah,
I think everybody pretty much knows it's imminent.
Minor Figueroa. Now, what are you going to do with Minor? He's 37 years of age. He's still getting called up to Honduras. For me, next year, he can't be the starting center back anymore. I think he can on occasion. I think he can in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. But you got to begin to move to the future. And the thing for me, Victor, this was a missed year from the standpoint of the development of Alejandro Fuenmayor.
Well, did not get to,
well let's start one first. Alejandro Fuenmayor, though, was presented to us to be the center back of the future, and he got limited minutes. I don't know if he got on the wrong side of Wilmer Cabrera or what, but that's a kid that does have the qualities that would be a good foil to learn from Akiki Struna and to play next to him. So that one's a little baffling to me.
Yeah. You know, and then when you bring in, you know, it's the same turnover every year, right? It's almost like 10, 11 players out, 10, 11 players in. And when you have that much of a turnover, you can't have only half of them working out. You know, and I mentioned some of these guys. Yeah, Vera, Struna, McNamara, I guess you can say based on minutes, and Figueroa. These are the guys that stand out. Ramirez later in the year. Bazama, we still don't know what's there. But when you have guys like Eric McHugh, Chris Duvall, Marlon Hairston, Michael Zalazar, Nico Hansen, guys that are basically non-existent. When you talk about bringing in people,
Duvall only played 90 minutes, so he never really even had an opportunity.
It's all over the place, right? It's in your transfers in. You have 3 draft picks this year. None of them, you know, I think one of them saw the field, and that was very limited. I mean, when you're going to build a team this way, when it's with a limited budget, that it makes it harder, right? You have to hit on some of these. On some of these additions, and that's the thing.
Well, and that's before we get into tactically. Now, we're talking about all this stuff. This happened under Wilmer Cabrera.
Yeah.
It was 2 straight years, and it's not to say Wilmer didn't have his successes here at some point. But look, it's 5 out of 6 years, no playoffs. That's what you have to go back to. It was a feel-good on Sunday. It was wonderful. It was exciting with DeMarcus. I think the Dynamo organization did a wonderful job of sending off a legendary U.S. soccer player, and then you got a great come-from-behind win as well that provided some excitement. But the 2 big things that really make it difficult for all of us when we speculate and want to have fun playing the GM is who's going to be the coach and who is and what's the status of you know, 2 of your bigger players, 2 of your DPs, and Mauro Manotas and Albert Elise. And if you dance with that and you don't have a commitment from them to make your decisions and choices on players, and if you're not sure, boy, you got to have backup plans. I mean, it seems very, very complicated to me this offseason.
Well, I just think the lack of commitment to it's to a plan. Well, what is their plan? I mean, I don't think we cover the team, you know, day in and day out. And I don't think we know the exact plan that they have. I mean, we know what they want it to be. We know they want to, you know, bring in youth. We know they want to
Well, the plan is the 3 budget buckets players that Matt Jordan presented. Number 1 is obviously young foreign talent. Number 2 is top American talent. Now, we do need a U.S. national team player of notoriety down here. We haven't had one. We need one. I think that could do something for the organization as well. And then the 3rd one is the academy, which is yet to yield anything really outside of...
Well, so you're only hitting 1 out of 3.
Memo Rodriguez. So the question is when is that going to come? And Memo joined the club from the Houstonians with 2 years and then got the good work down at USL's RGV. And so did Mauro Manotas with RGV. But from bringing academy players through, that wave has not come in. So again,
it might be a while till we see the next contributor. A long while.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, do you think Eric McHugh's going to play next year? I don't.
I'm not sure that he's played enough at down at RGV. That's the other thing that disturbs me a little bit is RGV's for young players to be developed, to be brought through here, not for 26, 27, and 28-year-old players that we think at some point can have a good MLS career. It's a little bit too late. I really want to see the development of youth and then take some chances on them. And I think that's a criticism I would have. The Dynamo have not given opportunity to young players. They've not given opportunity in the past to college players enough. It's almost like, we want to talk about how, people are great youth developers, but nobody's getting an opportunity. With youth has to come risk, and that is playing them with risk. Now, I think Dallas is a little bit over the top with it. I think they're going to get taken care of by Seattle in the playoffs, but that's their calling card. But that's a real challenge, I think, for the future. All right, let's get into some other things here. New York City FC and LAFC, they're the two best teams in the league, two best bodies of work, Victor. And what do you get? You get a long break, and then you get a single elimination game in the playoffs. Is that enough reward?
I don't think so, but that's the way it is, right? And that's you can maybe say that's why other teams don't try as hard to win a Supporters' Shield either, or to win.
So that's a great point you bring up, because that's about the competitive side of the league. So guess what? You can take your foot off the pedal, because if you're really pushing to win the Supporters' Shield, guess what? You're not really getting much for it anyway.
Right. I mean, you get a couple hundred, couple thousand bucks, right?
Bob Bradley and Tarrant may be saying, hey, we would rather have been playing like everybody else to keep a rhythm going.
Yeah. But I think in their case, they get, they get a bye to the next round. I think there is plenty of pressure.
It's good for injuries. It's good for guys that are injured, like Walker Zimmerman, things like that. But from the standpoint of rhythm, these two coaches now, all of a sudden, have to go into a mode here where they look at a long period of time where they got to get their teams a competitive game somewhere. I mean, it's very interesting.
Well, and I guess maybe the big advantage is that you're guaranteed every game is going to be at home, except in New York City's case for the MLS Cup.
That is the biggest advantage. But it's still one game. One game, anything can happen. James O'Connor, he's out in Orlando. They continue to struggle. By the way, Club America Chivas averaged 2 million viewers between the 23rd and 30th of September. That match on Univision, that made it the most watched club soccer match of the year. And that's over the Premier League, by the way. Serie A is going to have a regional office in the United States. They're following the same sort of mantra of the Bundesliga and the Premier League. And Zlatan came out. I get the feeling Zlatan's going back to Italy. Do you?
I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, with the rumors you said last week of Boca Juniors, I mean, I'd believe that. That dude's crazy enough to go down there.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Zlatan says, and I just pulled this up here because I want you to see this. Yeah. It says here, so they ask him, are you still ready for the Italian Serie A? He says, 100%. I feel it as I play. I'd still make the difference in Italy and all countries. Is retirement an option? He says, well, we'll see. There are a lot of things to think about physically and opportunity. If I come to Italy, I don't see any problems. I can do better than those that have been playing there now. In my opinion, Juventus is doing great things. It's a symbol of Italian football. Inter is also doing great things with the top manager. They're pushing ahead. The other teams are trying something but still aren't at the level of Juventus. Inter is the closest, in my opinion. With the right team, he could play in the Premier League or the Italian Serie A, no question.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see. I'd like to see him back in the U.S., though, because
right team,
he's going
right system.
To be missed in MLS if he leaves.
I hope he doesn't. He's a soundbite machine. Yeah. How much
tells
of a buzz
like
did... I mean, the buzz he brought to BBVA Stadium this weekend was wonderful.
People got out of their seats when he scored. I mean, that's
a great way to start it, and it was great to see the Dynamo get the comeback win. All right, we're going to take a break. Coming up, Bobby Boswell. We're going to go over Major League Soccer matchups. Thank you, Victor. A nice little segment there from you. We appreciate your insight. We're going to take you to break with Run DMC, the Kings of Rock. And before we do, a quick word here for Kings Court down in Edo. It's 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires, covering leagues from around the world. Go in, say hello to Jay and Megan. Kings Court, Houston, TX.com. And Hugh O'Connor's, our good friend Peter Kingston. They're having great times out there, man, with Liverpool winning everything in sight these days. It's a big time out of Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 TVs, big screen, good food. Houston LFC, we got a lot of great friends out there with that supporters group. They're living large right now. Liverpool Houston supporters group. All right, we'll take a break. The Boz, and I'm not talking about the one that played at Oklahoma. I'm talking about Bobby Boswell coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Glenn Davis here for Soccer Matters. The place to be in Edo is the King's Court. 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. The King's Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires. An incredible rooftop deck with a spectacular view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is also a winner at King's Court. Great food, staff, and selection of beer and cocktails, all at great prices. King's Court, HoustonTX.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And a big thank you, as always, to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. We thank them very much. All right, great opportunity now to catch up with former Dynamo defender Bobby Boswell. You saw him on the last broadcast of the year on the Cube. We had a great time calling that game. Bobby joins us now. Bobby, thanks so much for coming on the program tonight.
Hey, Glenn, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, we had a great Sunday calling that Dynamo win. Now we're going to have some fun here making some predictions, MLS playoffs. I'm going to start with Toronto FC, DC United. Your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I think this will probably be the closest match. I think there's a little bit of a question mark with Josie. The guy I like that substitutes in for him is Patrick Mullins, his former teammate. Nick De Leon's a former former DC United guy with Patrick Mullins. Tsubasa Endo played at DC. So there's some guys that played for Toronto that have a big incentive to go out and beat DC. I know DC's kept five clean sheets in a row heading into this thing, but Toronto's 10 games unbeaten. I think in that night, I think that Toronto finds a way to get it done and moves on in an ugly game.
Yeah, there you go. So they've been 7-6-2 over their final 15. I like what you say about them. They are going to have to break down a deeper defending DC. That's why Bill Hamid has 14 shutouts, and I think Alejandro Pozuelo will be a key to that. Very good technical on the ball, but they'll have to be careful in transition. That's what it's about. Final game for Wayne Rooney. Atlanta United, who you played for, and New England, and interestingly enough, they ended the season playing each other, Bobby. They meet in the playoffs.
Yeah, in that game, you saw Atlanta was far superior, but New England was very dangerous on the counter. I think Bruce kind of, if he took notes from it back and he tries to counterattack through, you know, you got Teal Bunbury up there, and Pania is one of my favorite guys going forward. He was able to score, but I think Atlanta, with Yosef being back, every game for them is a playoff game. The moment won't be too big. It's in their home stadium. I think Atlanta, they go out and they kind of cruise to a victory against a New England team that's just probably going to be happy to be in the playoffs.
Yosef Martinez, 27 goals, obviously looking healthy. Julian Gressel, another one. Pete Martinez, Ezekiel Barco, a ton of riches there. For New England, Gustavo Bon, who they got from Tijuana, 9 goals, 2 assists. Carlos Gil, 10 goals, 14 assists. So those are the guys who will have to do it on the counterattack. Bunbury, you mentioned as well. They'll get the winner of the Union and Red Bulls. Let's move on to Seattle FC Dallas. Now, just a little note here. If the Dynamo had 10 more points, they would have nipped Dallas for that final playoff spot. FC Dallas, it's all about the youth. They go to Seattle, Bobby.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they ended the season with that 6-goal victory over a struggling Kansas City. But I'm not sold on them. I think Barrios is really the X factor for them. But I have question marks about kind of their holding midfielder and their defense a little bit. And Seattle is just a veteran group of guys. We can talk about Rui Diaz struggling a little bit. and obviously Chad Marshall retiring in the year leaves some question marks about their experience at the back. But this is a team that can grind out ugly 1-0 win. I think that they're not going to struggle with FC Dallas. FC Dallas had to win that last game to get in. They kind of left a lot of points out late in the year. I don't think they're very good on the road. I think Seattle cruises to this thing with Lodeiro leading the way.
Yeah, Rui Diaz, Lodeiro, Jordan Morris, those guys have 28 goals between them. And to Bobby's point, Chad Marshall just said, hey, peace out in the middle of the season, clearing his locker out, and we haven't heard from him. It's Roman Torres and Kim Keehee at the back. FC Dallas is going to counter with Andrasek, Jesus Ferreira, Baji, and Barrios. Okay, we move it on to Real Salt Lake and Portland. This is an interesting one. Real Salt Lake does have a plethora of weapons. Savarino's one I know you like. Rusnak, Krylak, Baird. They are at home against the Portland Timbers.
Yeah, I think everyone's picking Portland to upset them here, but I just don't see it. I think anytime you have a star forward that gets removed, he's in the Brian Fernandez, a guy that we really like. We actually talked about on the broadcast. He kind of seemed like he had some mental issues talking to himself and chasing guys around the field. And sure enough, he's in the substance abuse program now. So I think he's out. We don't know. Valeri might be out with a calf injury. So I think that in the grand scheme of it, they're missing two of their big stars. And when they go on the road to play at Salt Lake, although Salt Lake hasn't beaten a lot of playoff teams, they seem to take care of business when it matters. So I think Salt Lake finds a way to get this done.
Interestingly enough, Diego Valeri wanting a 2-year extension with his designated player contract. Bobby mentioned Fernandez, who has had issues prior to coming to Major League Soccer with cocaine problems. And there was a sad thing about his history, that is one of his brothers committed suicide, which kind of put him off the deep end a little bit. So let's hope he's going to be okay. RSL Portland. I don't know why. I just keep going to Portland right now. Espria has to step up. Blanco, Valeri, Obobese. Even without Fernandez, I think somehow they get that done. As much as I love Nick Raimondo, I don't think he's the Nick Raimondo of old. Union New York Red Bulls. Jim Curtin and company struggling here at the end of the season.
Yeah, this is my upset. I think the Red Bulls, although, you know, a lot of people like to throw negative talk at them, I think they've set such a high standard for their organization and the way they high press, and it hasn't been working as much lately. I think in the playoffs, they find a way to get it done. Philadelphia, they create a lot of chances, Glenn, but they haven't been scoring a lot of goals, and unless Marco Fabian really picks it up. I think there's a question mark if Casper is if he's even going to be healthy for this game. I know Bedoya can create some stuff, and they've got a couple really talented guys in the midfield. But defensively, I think that they can be vulnerable if they don't play direct. I can see the Red Bulls pouncing on it early, forcing them into some mistakes, taking an early goal or maybe 2-goal lead, and then riding this thing out.
Yeah, I like the way you're looking at this. Harris Madunyanin, their midfielder, was very vocal after the last game saying, look, we're not on the same page. We have some people in our press that aren't working at all. There is a lack of discipline. I mean, he came out and said this stuff. They've only had one win in their last five. So they're going into these playoffs needing this big break. And to Bobby's point, maybe the New York Red Bulls are feeling it under Chris Armas. I mean, would we have ever thought we would have been sitting in this position, Bobby, saying that Bradley Wright Phillips only had 2 goals this year?
Yeah, I think they tried to do – some coaches try to force this changing of the guard, and maybe it's a GM and a contract thing. Or I'm not really sure why you would ever take him out. The guy is lethal. I know Brian White, and they've got some other guys that they've tried to, you know, substitute in there. But, yeah, I still think that they're dangerous, and they're dangerous on the counter, really turning teams over in bad spots. And I could see Philadelphia trying to be a little overconfident in how they play out. Thinking that this will be the way to solve their problems, and I could see New York, like I said, they've done it before. They've gone in there and scored 2 goals, but then Philly was able to come back. I think in the playoffs, if you give up stupid goals, it's gonna be a lot harder to overcome that than the regular season.
But no doubt, this is a different New York Red Bulls without Tyler Adams as the fulcrum of that midfield and Bradley Wright Phillips scoring goals. So I guess they found ways, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you can't replace. You cannot replace Tyler Adams. Even, you're seeing they can't replace BWP, but, I don't think that Philly's that great of a team. Unless Blake stands on his head, you know Robles will kind of find some weird ways to make saves and keep New York in it. So it'll be a back-and-forth game. I just think I could see Philly shooting themselves in the foot in their big moment.
Yeah, and I don't see either of these teams going far. As much as Philly's had a great record this year, I'm with you on that one. Minnesota United, the L.A. Galaxy. Now, Adrian Heath is really playing this card of, hey, we don't get no respect and all that stuff, which we're the underdog, yada, yada, yada. L.A. Galaxy coming in with all their guns like we just saw this weekend. Jan Gregas, Ozzy Alonso, great signings for that team. Mason Toy up front. Are you convinced about Minnesota United?
I am convinced. And if you watch that Seattle game, they hit the post. They should have scored on that. Ethan Finley. They really defend. You know, as a defender, I like the way they defend. They have some real, real counterattacking weapons. And Darwin Quintero, my favorite player in MLS. I think that if you follow his career, and I know, Glenn, you followed it more than most, in the big moments, he seems to show up. He loves to take a bow after he does great things. So I see this as if they can keep L.A. from scoring, that many goals. We've seen L.A. in the last 2 weeks just implode. So they don't need a whole lot of goals, I think, to beat L.A. It's just whether they can keep Pavone and Zlatan from having a field day. I like Minnesota in this, and I don't think it's going to be a very fun game to watch. I think they'll make it ugly. I think Zlatan will get frustrated. But Minnesota's got some real pieces in there. Some of the guys you named in the middle can really, their experience, they can make the game ugly and kill it off. So I think Minnesota finds a way to get this done.
I don't think Minnesota goes far without Darwin. And I know Darwin's been kind of in and out of the lineup at the back end of the year. I'm a big fan of his like you are. I just think he's, this level of unpredictability he brings is a great thing. The only thing scary about L.A. is you mentioned it, Zlatan and Pavone. And Zlatan should have had four, frankly, against the Dynamo. I don't think there's any question. They got their chances in that game. But, boy, defensively, you and I were shaking our heads watching L.A. defend against the Dynamo.
Yeah, they have some really – it's not just those two guys. They have some really good technical players through the middle. I just don't understand how they can be great for 10 minutes and then – it's like 10 minutes where they're terrible. And those little spurs of time in the playoffs, it's just not going to cut it. So I know Zlatan missed a lot of chances. I don't think that Minnesota is going to give them that many chances. But I think he takes, if he has the same amount of chances, he scores three of them. But I don't think that Minnesota will shut out L.A. But I think that, if they sit back a little bit, they have to have Quintero in there and Ethan Finley going the other way. They will find a way, Rodriguez will hold the ball up and drop it off. Those guys will get some chances, and I think they'll bury him.
It's going to be interesting. Minnesota United and the LA Galaxy and the Dynamo doing the damage to the Galaxy, knocking them out of home field advantage with the 4-2 come-from-behind win at BBVA Stadium this past weekend. Bobby and I were lucky enough to have the call on that game. Which leads me to my final question for you, Bobby, which is one. New York City FC, LAFC. All right, clearly these are the two best teams in the league, record-wise, body of work, you name it. LAFC sets a record for points. It's phenomenal. But guess what? All they get is a bye, and they get additional time off, which I think can work both ways.
Yeah, I think LAFC, it might help them in that they might get Walker Zimmerman back, who, he carried an injury going into the end of the weekend. I don't know, LAFC is kind of a weird team. I think that the fact that they don't have to play a first-round game thing as they got eliminated by Salt Lake last year in the first round, that's a positive. I see them actually making moves going forward. NYCFC, I love what they do, and I think everyone around the league is taken by storm by how well they've played without the big name power. I think the biggest question is going to be the stadium issues with them going forward. They're the you say you get a home field advantage, but you actually can't play your home games at home. I'm not sure if the league's going to be able to work that out. But if they play, whether it's at home and they have a small field, I think that hurts them a little bit. And I think if they go play at some random other stadium, then that hurts them because it's not even really a home game for them. It's going to be an away game for both teams. So I like both the teams. I think both the teams find a way to make it out of their first game. But, you know, after that, I think it's going to get a little tricky for NYCFC, and LAFC will be playing either in El Trafico or they'll be playing a Minnesota team that went in and kicked them in the mouth earlier in the year.
New York City FC, they got problems with the Yankees, Major League Baseball, and scheduling. They talked about playing at City Field, which is where the Mets play. They do know how to play on that little matchbox of a field at Yankee Stadium better than anybody. And as you mentioned, Bobby, a very technical team. Maxi Morales and a whole bunch of others have had really, really good seasons. I think they're flying under the radar a little bit long term, and maybe have brought themselves a little larger identity here as the season's going along. All right, this is good stuff. We'll be talking more about it. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thanks for your thoughts on all the playoffs games. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That's Bobby Boswell. We had a good time calling that last Dynamo game, and that was a nice vibe in the stadium, what we want to continue to see in the future. In the offseason, a lot of questions to be answered. All right, we'll take a break here. More to come here on the Houston Dynamo and on Barcelona, because coming up in the second hour, we'll have a conversation with Albert Roca, who was the assistant coach of Barcelona under Frank Rijkaard. In 2006, they won the Champions League with Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto'o, and a teenage guy named Lionel Messi.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.